Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 414 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
This is our Top Cow Thursday episode. Obviously, it probably doesn't sound like it usually does because Manny and I are sitting in our little downtown condo apartment type deal. Just minutes walk from San Diego Convention Center. San Diego Comic-Con is underway, but we did not want to miss out on Top Cow Thursday. We're going to be talking about Aphrodite 5, number one, from Brian Edward Hill on writing duties and art by an artist I'm not familiar with his work. Jeff Spokes is his name, and we have Troy Pateri on letters. So any of you that listened to the New Comics Wednesday episode will know that I was over the moon for the latest issue of Gideon Falls. It was my book of the week. But for Manny, book of the week was all about this book.
That's right.
Aphrodite 5. So, you know, normally when we do these spotlights, we give a quick breakdown of the story. But we're going to skip that this time just in the interest of time. We're super busy, as you can imagine, with interviews and stuff to do at Comic-Con. I know. We're not rubbing it in, I promise. It's just, you know, we want to bring you as much content as we can. So,
It's not that much fun.
So, yeah, we're just going to talk about kind of our thoughts on the book, and we're going to skip the kind of the in-depth analysis, panel by panel, page by page recap of the story. So, why don't you go first, man? It's your book of the week. So, what were your thoughts? Why did this stand out to you? There's a lot of good books this week.
Yeah, there really were a lot of good books. Aphrodite, obviously, that the character, the program, however you want to call it, it's not their first book that features it, but it's the first time I'm reading it, so I have like a fresh perspective on it. I don't have a background per se to judge it based on a previous series or a previous writer, artist, kind of like the reason why I'm having issues with Witchblade, currently having issues with Witchblade. But I really enjoyed the title. I enjoyed the beginning of the book, old school versus millennial, and, you know, one way of policing a city versus the new idea. And how, and that back and forth, I thought that was done really well. And then just inserting that character, Aphrodite, and how she's an older model. And then it kind of, by the end of the first issue, it kind of started feeling to me more like a classic RoboCop type story, which I am a big fan of all the RoboCop films and even some of the comic books that have accompanied it as well. So, for those reasons, I really enjoyed it. The artwork, I wasn't necessarily too fond of. It was kind of an acquired taste by the end of the book. Overall, it was a really good start, and I really enjoyed it. It's different than anything else that came out this week. Although, a lot of good books came out this week. But this one stood out to me the most.
Yeah, I'm with you there on the art, and I'm still not sure as I scan through that I'm a fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jeff Spokes not only handles the, you know, the penciling and the inking, I mean, he probably, you know, draws it digitally, so he's not necessarily, you know, adding ink, but he's also handling the color, and it's like when you go through certain, it's like, every page is a little too monochromatic for me.
Yeah.
It's like you look at a page and it's like, okay, he colored it in relatively muted tones and then he put like a filter over the whole page. So this whole page has a green tint to it.
Yeah.
This whole page has a brown tint to it. This whole page has a gray tint to it. And I feel like it doesn't let the emotions of the individual panels kind of speak for themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's like you're looking through a filter. And maybe that's what he was going for, because it's a more stylized approach. The other thing, and I couldn't put my finger on it until I'm sitting here and we're talking about it. A couple more things. He's very light on his backgrounds in a lot of panels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially the panels where he's up close. It's a lot of close-ups. It's a lot of, okay, this is just their head. This is just their head and shoulders. This is just their face. I'd like it if he pulled back a little more. It's not to say that it's bad art, and I think that his sense of storytelling, and he's got a very good, you know, eye as far as camera angles, and I never got bored. He's not giving us the same angles all the time. He's definitely moving the camera around the room, so to speak. But I don't know. Again, I mean, the things that I don't like about the art very well may be what he, you know, he's doing it intentionally.
Well, I mean, I'd be curious to see what it would look like with another artist, another colorist.
Yeah, so if he wasn't coloring his own stuff.
Because, I mean, there's that one page where she gets caught, and it goes from that really, almost like a light yellow, and then it goes to the bottom, to where the officer's jackets and her pants are, and it goes to like almost like a cyan, and then it goes right into the interrogation room, which are the same colors.
Color, yeah.
And that's kind of, I don't know, it kind of takes away from the story a little bit, from the action, the movement, I guess the flow, and it just kind of mutes it a little bit, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, I agree with 100%. So, you know, Manny had mentioned previous versions. So, the original early version was Aphrodite, I want to say 9. That was introduced by David Finch and David Wall. And Matt Hawkins took and ran with that in his future story, Generation 9. And now we're getting a different version, right? This is, I think, the earliest version of Aphrodite that we're seeing in our own series. We've seen other early versions show up. You know, obviously Cyberforce, the new Cyberforce that's out. But yeah, I like the fact that even though it's a new version, you don't have to have any history, any knowledge of the character. You can just pick this up and you're right there at the beginning of the story. That's not to say that you won't get a little more out of it. And, you know, if you do know about the character, or you have a previous knowledge, but it's certainly not necessary. So yeah, as far as the story itself goes, we were talking about this before. I feel like it's a cross between, I mean, definitely get that RoboCop feel with them wanting to privatize the police force. But with that stylized look and LA as a setting, I'm definitely getting some Michael Mann, you know, vibe, especially like things like Heat. So yeah, I think it's a very cinematic book, in that it evokes a lot of feelings of those kind of classic android assassin robot kind of movies, you know, like RoboCop, or was the one with the girl assassin where she was just came out recently. I can't remember what it was called. I think it was like Charlize Theron. Was she an android in that?
I'm not sure. I know which movie you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't think of the name.
I didn't see it.
Was it called Blondie or Blonde or something like that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the
title. But yeah, I mean, it's a classic story. You know, beautiful woman. Everybody underestimates her, doesn't think of her as a danger because, you know, she's just another pretty face. I don't know if that totally fits Aphrodite. She does look a little punk.
Mm-hmm.
But probably my favorite thing about the book is got to be the dialogue. Brian Edward Hill is a master of dialogue. He's so good at his scripting that it really brings the characters to life because they speak so realistically.
Yeah.
You feel
I
like
agree.
yeah, this is exactly how these people would speak in, you know, in the near future. So we know something's going on with Basilisk. That's the kind of the mysterious malevolent force, whether it's a some kind of a evil organization, or it's a corporation, or it's some kind of program. I mean, the guy that that comes after our main protagonist says, "No solace for mankind, Basilisk, I have served you." And it, the other thing that kind of reminded me of with that assassin is a little bit of Iron Man. Classic Iron Man, Armor Wars storyline, where Tony realized that somebody had stolen some of his Iron Man technology and were using it to commit crimes. And he decided to go out and wage war on all the other technology heroes and villains in the Marvel Universe and make sure that nobody had access to his tech except for himself. And he burned a lot of bridges over it because, I mean, we're talking about going after, as I said, some heroes as well as villains. So this is very similar. You know, we have the billionaire, the gay black billionaire millennial. Is his name Carver? Something Carver? Can't remember what his first name is. But anyway, he's attacked by this guy who's wearing his own stuff, like his own armor, things that shouldn't be out there on the street. So again, you've got that Iron Man vibe where it's this guy's own tech, it's his own top secret patented technology that some assassin has gotten a hold of and is now turning it against him. So I imagine we're going to see more of that play out as the series continues. So yeah, I thought it was a great start. My only question is, how many great titles can Brian Edward Hill write
at the same time?
Yeah. So how many books can he write before we start to see declining quality? Although I think he say that he had his Batman run, like he had his Batman arc like completely done, right?
I don't know. But I mean, he just picked up another one. He's doing, I think it's with, I don't remember the publisher, but he's doing the Kiss book also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh, I missed that one, so. All right. Was there anything else we need to say about Aphrodite 5?
I think we covered it. We'll see if the colors stay the same in the next issue. That would be interesting.
I imagine it will. I mean, I don't think they would change it that quickly. Could definitely ask Matt about it.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
So, all right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us. Be sure you are following our social media feeds, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram, so you can follow along with all our convention coverage this week from Comic-Con. A lot of the episodes this weekend will be kind of on the fly like this one, just based on Comic-Con, basically, and us having time to record. So the Superman Sunday one might be delayed. We're hoping to get to it this weekend. But we have to find time to actually read the book. So we'll see how that plays out. So we want to thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next time.